Hare Krishna, what a great fortune once again to hear His Grace Vanshi Vadan Prabhu on 30th of December 2013, and it's a day 7 of Bhakti Shastri class in Sridhar Mayapur, addressing to all the devotees on chapter 10. This is day 7 of unit 2. Hare Krishna.
Yes, you understand 10.8, right? You have to recite the verse, read the translation, and then begin. And we will all follow. Okay, so verses 8 to 11. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I think so there are quite a few devotees who seem to have gone out. Maybe we'll have to wait for a minute. In the meantime, we can recite the verse and read the translation. Okay, 10.8, please recite the verse. Yes. Okay, we'll all recite together. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam bhuta bhava samanvitaha. You can read the translation.
I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who personally know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So the main point of the verse. There are actually many points. It's like very condensed. First thing is that Krishna is the source of all the world, and that means material world and spiritual world. And to further enter into the detail, Krishna says everything emanates from me. Matak sarvam, sarvam, everything. And second part of the shloka, ikimatva bhajante mam buddha bhava, the wise. You know this perfectly means without any doubt. They do two things. They engage in devotional service and they worship Him. Actually, the word is bhajante. That Prabhupada gives two meanings actually to make sure to get the point that bhajante means they engage in devotional service and they worship Him. But what is their mentality? With all their heart. So it gets into more and more deep into the matter. So that's the main point of the actual verse. In the purport, Prabhupada explains what Krishna says, but he asks the wise actually, he understands it, he gives devotional service, and on the negative side, you might say what he does not do, he does not become deviated by Prabhupada's called nonsense commentaries. And this would totally by any commentaries to reject the authority of God or the existence of God, the personality of God, things like that. And fool and nonsense commentary. He's not deviated. And so it's the same point at the end of the purport also. And the Vedas, the Vedic literature, they confirm this. Krishna is not just speaking because he's Arjuna's friend or because he wants to boast or toot his horn or something. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, there are a few places. But Krishna makes reference to the Vedas. Even the great sages do this, and the Vedas are like that. So, and there's many examples. There are many quotes in the purport of the Vedas. One of the quotes is that in the Narayan something Upanishad, Narayan is the source of Brahma, Shiva, and all of the demigods, and all generations, source of all generations, the Patriyas, the Vasus, and even in the verses 3 and 4 and 7, in the same chapter, it says I'm the source of the seven sages and the four Kumaras, like that. Yeah, in the second verse, he actually says I'm the source of all, origin of all sages and demigods. So that summarizes it all. And Narayan being the source of all these generations, but Krishna is the source of the origin of Narayan. That's a very important point, because especially in India, in the West, we don't know about these things. You know, Narayan is all, and Krishna is a Hindu god or something. But in India, many people, actually all people, they believe that Krishna is in the incarnation of Vishnu, the Navatar, Vishnu. So, so Krishna is the source of Narayan. And a very important point also, understanding Krishna, Buddha, Baba, Samangita, the ones who know this perfectly, but how do they come to know this? Prabhupada explains that they come to know this from the spiritual master and from statements from the Vedic literature. So this is akin to Guru Sadhu and Shastra. So it's all very well rounded up by Srila Prabhupada in his report of this program.
Practical application?
Well, practical application, we came up with the idea that, of course, we didn't know that Krishna was the source of everything, so we heard from somebody who heard from somebody who heard from Prabhupada, and we read, so this is the Shruti part of it, like learn from the spiritual master, and the Veda part, so by reading the book, this is becomes confirmed. So we hear a devotee says, Krishna is God and Supreme, and he's the origin of everything. Oh, thank you very much. I'm going to read this book. Oh, this is exactly what he said. You know, so it is confirmed like this. And perfectly engaged in devotional service, knowing this, our particular type of devotional service is to spread the mission of the spiritual master, which is to deliver the same message to others in all kinds of activities, especially book distribution and preaching, Harinam Sankirtan, and all other activities that are helping towards the mission, whether it's deity worship or cooking. Sometimes we have these Sankirtan marathons or book distribution weekend or whatever for the congregation, and somebody said, well, I'm too shy for going on. So, well, we can help with cooking or carrying things. It's like a group effort. Everybody can have a party.
Thank you very much. Hari Bol! Anybody have any questions for them? Any one question? Any one question? Okay, Nan, Hari Bol, okay. Who's next? Who's the other part of the eighth verse? Who's present there?
Teachers, and I'll just read a quick reference. When one studies science, chemistry teacher asked him, when one studies science, one finds general tendencies of nature, and these general tendencies of nature point to a controlling force. And Srila Prabhupada replied, that I was explaining the other day. I asked one chemist whether, according to chemical formulas, hydrogen and oxygen linked together become water. Do they not? It's true, replied Srila Prabhupada. Now, there is a vast amount of water in the Atlantic Ocean and Pacific Ocean. What quantity of chemicals was required? Many, replied. So, who supplied it? This was supplied by God, replied. Somebody must have supplied, yes. So that is science. You can teach like that. Try to connect everything with Krishna. That's one of the ways of teaching. And I personally found that very, you know, inspiring to see, you know, if teachers in our schools would teach like that, that would help a lot. And the other thing is that, why they don't do that? Because they don't have the authority. So we need an authority of the Vedas. We need to try to establish and confirm the authority of the Vedas so that the teachers actually believe in what they, you know, preaching. They can check everything, they can, you know, follow. So that's first point. The other point is maybe a lack of qualified teachers. We don't have too many teachers who can do that. So how to increase the number of these teachers? We want to preach Krishna consciousness, you know, preach our movement and establish it later, preach it to others, prove the point, and you know, do things like Buddha Karma, Prabhu does, Buddha Prabhu, you know, scientific methods. That's very good. That's very inspiring, actually, for many scientists and for teachers as well. The other point is that you know, some people, especially in India, they stress more importance to demigods. And an example is that in the Vedas, Prabhu said that Brahma, when he's born, he doesn't even know where he's born from. You know, he doesn't know himself. He doesn't realize. And how to overcome this this tendency of, you know, worship of demigods is trying to convince them about the authority of the Vedas with the authority scriptures. You know, like Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that everything comes from Narayana. Narayana produces this, Narayana produces that. So there are many, many quotes that Srila Prabhupada and references that Srila Prabhupada gives in this verse. For example, Narayana is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and from him Brahma was born, from whom Shiva was born. So if we preach like that to these people, they will think, okay, so Brahma probably is not the highest authority, so I should, you know, think about it and go to Narayana, maybe, which is who is Krishna himself. So that's how we would overcome this point. And the last one is that people in general, nowadays, Kali Yuga, they're not interested about Krishna consciousness and they're looking for sense gratification. But they follow karma kanda, so at least something. And we can inspire them to do more. We can preach about the nature of sense gratification. You know, that is like Prabhupada mentioned that in the beginning, Krishna consciousness may be like poison, but then it's good. It's like nectar. And sense gratification is first nectar and then poison. So it's not very good for you, so you should better do something else. It's like that. And also preaching yoga letter to say how they can, you know, on which level they are and how they can elevate from that level. So that's our, how we come up with this solution. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any one question? Okay, Prabhuji has a question.
You said it by karma kanda. What was it?
The problem is that people are looking for sense gratification.
Yeah, but you said that they can do it by karma kanda, but in the Western world, people are not following karma kanda. Can you say something more?
So if people are looking for self-gratification, that's the reason for that, that they don't have a fire taste. So we should try and preach Krishna consciousness more so that they have more fire taste, so that they understand that what their life is all around, and not because they have, you know, they have something more. And when I've had examples, I've heard of stories when people were hearing Harinam in their flat, and they were just running out of their home, you know, just totally astonished, totally, you know, shocked, you know, question, what is this, you know, who you are, who are you people, you know, what is this sound that's coming from you, you know. So this preaching of Harinam Sankirtan actually inspires many, many people, so they understand that there is something else, you know, there is higher faith.
Thank you very much. Hari Bol. Okay. Okay, I think so. All the points have been well covered. And I was just thinking about this. These challenges seem to be more in relation to preaching. What about personal?
Not so.
Great. Who else was in your group? Okay, what do you think? Are there any personal challenges to application? To coming to this realization that Krishna is the source of all material and spiritual worlds, are there any personal challenges to come to that realization? Well, if you have none, you can say that. Okay, then think about it. What do the other two members in your group say? Okay, never thought about it. Okay, fine, we pass on the question. Oh, sorry. Okay.
I mean, one of my personal challenges is also science. You know, when I get diseased by science, I start to seeing things in a different way. So, things like studying more and trying to connect with Krishna, that's helpful.
Okay, fine. Would anyone comment on any other personal challenges one could have in realizing this verse which Krishna is speaking about?
Personally, coming from background of South India, where the prominence of Sri Vaishnava is very strong, the argument that's put forward is Narayana is the source. And Krishna is an incarnation. And they quote verses about that. And we have about being brought up in the scenario, in the upbringing, that there are 10 incarnations, and Krishna is one of them.
Right.
When we discuss more intricacies like this, even in the purport, Prabhupada's purport tells Narayana is the source, Narayana is the source, and then the line is added, Krishna is the source of Narayana.
Yes.
And that's where the strong disagreement comes from. And even the birth of Krishna, Krishna first appears as Purama form, and they question that part.
Yes.
Because that's the original form, that's how he appeared, then he came as Krishna. So, and I've also heard that every incarnation has to come through Shirodakshaya Vishnu, and Krishna appears only once in the lifetime of Brahma.
Yes.
That's a grey area which I wanted to bring forward.
Okay, so basically, of course the authority is always the Shastra, so ultimately. So that's a common misconception about Narayan being the source, and then I think the misconception is removed by the authority of the Shastra. And if you want further discussion on that, you can refer to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conversation with Venkat Bhatt in his South Indian travels. So you can refer to that and get some more. Okay, and of course, ultimately, the conviction that Krishna is the source of everything material and spiritual, and the element of faith that always comes into picture. And so, of course, we already had a little discussion on faith. Okay, and so that's another point. Okay, fine. Maybe I just a quick reference to Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary on this.
Okay, so here he speaks of his vibhuti characterized by great power and the cause of existence, manifestation of everything both material and spiritual. Okay, fine, I don't think so there's much difference from what Srila Prabhupada is speaking. Okay, this is Prabhupada's lecture. Somebody can quickly read this, please.
And the origin of everything. Everything means the universe also. Whatever you can imagine, that comes within the category of everything. So if Krishna is the source of everything, then if you love Krishna, you love the universe. Actually, that is so. If you love your father, then you love your brother. If you love your country, then you love your countrymen. So the love begins from the origin. If you love your body, then you love your finger. Iti matva vajante man. One who has understood this fact that God is the origin of all emanations, one who has understood this fact very nicely, scientifically, then by loving God, you love everything. And bhava samantitaha. Buddha, one must be very well versed, at the same time, completely absorbed in spiritual emotion, bhava. This bhava is the very highest platform for coming to the perfection of life.
Right, so this is the result of this knowledge. Sorry. So this is the result of this knowledge. If one understands that Krishna is the origin of everything, everyone, then automatically, as people talk of universal brotherhood and unity and so on and so forth, all that will immediately follow if one understands this. We're going to the next group. Who's the next group? This one? Wherever. Should it be, I think it should be here, I think, so that's better in the center.
Okay, so just drawing up some key points from the verse.
Before that, let's recite the verse.
Sure.
Ninth verse, let's recite. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantasyamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Translation: the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me.
Okay, so the few key points from the verse there, just dissecting it, was that the thoughts of pure devotees dwell in Krishna. Pure devotees live fully devoted to Krishna's service. Pure devotees derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening and conversing about Krishna. Moving on to the purport, we can see that Prabhupada writes about how pure devotees' minds cannot be deviated from the lotus feet of Krishna. And they talk of solely transcendental, there's nothing else separate from transcendental discussion with pure devotees. And the symptoms of this, which Prabhupada describes, is that 24 hours a day, the pure devotees are engaged in describing the qualities of heart and of Krishna, as explained in the verse also. Their hearts and souls are completely submerged, and what we in Ajitananda Prabhu were describing is that when everyone washes their cloth in a bucket, you don't just put half of it in, you submerge your entire cloth in the bucket to get it completely wet. That's just a nice meditation to think of that. That's how deep they are in their devotional service and Krishna Katha. The devotees take pleasure in discussing Krishna with other devotees. So there's a few stages, two stages, and in the preliminary stage we can see that the devotee takes pleasure in the service itself, but the more mature stage they are situated in love of Godhead, which is exhibited by the devotee. So Lord Chaitanya speaks, which Prabhupada cites in the purport, about devotional service being a sowing seed in the heart, in a spiritual plant. And that actually can fructify and actually penetrate the Brahmajyoti as devotional service continues. And the watering process, all that is the hearing and chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then once actually this plant develops further, it takes shelter and rest at the lotus feet of the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan and develops fruits. So what we can also see from this is that this plant, which is watered by the roots of the Maha Mantra, develops further and further and eventually rests at the Lord's feet. Also explaining in the purport near the end the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam and how it's full of narrations and relationships of the devotees and of the Lord and his devotees.
how that makes this scripture extremely dear to devotees. And there's absolutely no material activity described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, whereas you can see the body of the Vedas is an overarching text for all of humanity, which does contain some aspects of material activity, but Bhagavatam does not. And Prabhupada likened the pleasure that devotees take in reading the Bhagavatam to the association between a young boy and a girl, which is very interesting. So, Adyogya Jitananda Prabhu now speaks about the classification. I already said everything about him. By service is one, obviously. Association with devotees, hearing and chanting the Maha Mantra is also another one. Of course, reading Srimad Bhagavatam.
That's the practice. Okay, fine. Any questions? Okay, thank you, Ivo. Okay, the next group. Who's the next?
And the solutions that we came about for applying this work. The discussion itself began with a bit of a challenge. Should we do this work? Why is this work given to us? And we had overcome that initial barrier inside us. So we put the first point in as our own mind, giving a lot of troubles because the work deals with a very high level. The pure devotees, their thoughts are always dwelling in me, they always discuss things about me, they relish. Then thinking about all this, maybe this is out of our subject, maybe this is out of our range, so we are not at that level. So that's the first limitation we came across, and we put it straight, being honest. We put that. I'll probably go through the list of challenges and then go through the solution. Then closely related to that is the attachment that we have in this material world that keeps us tied. One famous example which His Holiness Indradevan Maharaj gave was a balloon, hydrogen balloon gets inflated with a gas, but it still doesn't go up. Why? There are sandbags at the bottom that just keeps it in the without letting it go off. So if you cut the sandbags off and then it takes off. So these are the attachments that we have that prevent us from going to that higher level of always thinking, always remembering and relishing. Now, thinking 24 hours about Krishna is not possible when people are working outside jobs, they have a family, they need to take care of that. That's one challenge that came out. Access to books, not all of them have access to books. Some areas in the world don't have access to us. We are trying our best to reach out. Even within the world community, not all of them have all the sets of books. So that is one challenge where if only books are there, it can be read, and if they're not there, then the basis is the book. So that itself is lacking. So that is a key challenge we came about. Devotee association throughout the world sometimes is said in a bit funny way, but it's a bit serious as well. The number of deities in the altar is more than the number of devotees in the temple. So it's a bittersweet thing to ponder on. That's another challenge. So of course our faith and weak faith and weak knowledge, we acquire. So we may change when a new scientific thing comes up, God's particle. Oh, God's particle is found, they found God. Oh, that's it. Close the Bible, close the book, they found God. So things like that, when they come up and then we leave, we tend to get swayed to the other side. And lack of haste in doing spiritual activities. After some time it all seems to be, yeah, everyone's getting a Ramanandhi, everyone's doing it. That kind of dragging. We drag on without knowing. So, our beloved devotee Anmol came up with this sadhana bhakti, regulated sadhana bhakti, gives a set routine for us to follow. If there's no nothing set in the as a goal, then the mind doesn't have anything to work towards. Lack of spiritual goals, if you don't have spiritual goals, that itself is a sign of demonic nature. I don't know the exact reference, but it said that if you don't have spiritual goals, that's not a good sign. So having a regulated sadhana gives us something to work on. So the regulated sadhana bhakti helps us to overcome the challenge of mind. Hearing and reading about Krishna cuts the material attachment, simultaneously develops attachment towards him. The more we know about a person, the more we get attached to him, the more we will get taste in reading about his activities. So it is the sweet candy that is tasting bitter to a jaundiced patient. So we take it in that motive and with that consciousness and still go on reading, even though we don't have the taste at the moment. We do it taking the inspiration from the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Now, I have just wanted to quote an example from the Sikhing community where one of the devotees working an outside job in a company, then he got fired out and then he switched to a government job. As you know, government job is relatively easier than a private job. Then what he did is, he made sure that the other devotees are also get into the same department. So over a period, almost 5 to 6 or 7 devotees are working in the same government department. And in the lunch break, they were able to discuss and they were able to form a small group of devotees even in the company itself, and they were able to preach to others. In that way, even in, if you're working an outside job, you can do that. And the second point is keeping Bhagavad Gita at your workplace. That has actually made others also devotees, because some curious soul will ask, what's that? And they will touch Gita, they will read, and you're also becoming Krishna conscious, and you can, your cabin, your own space in the office, you make it Krishna conscious, you can keep a small altar. Nowadays people keep their wives' picture, their dog's picture, we can say, he is my guide, he is my spiritual mentor. So things can be done that way, where you make your job Krishna conscious, so you can always remember. There are screen tables, there are a lot of things if you want to look at the alternatives. Access to books, we found electronic books, there's this amazing book can be taken in this Amazon Kindle, so that kind of, he has an Amazon Kindle. So then we have MP3 players, iPhone, there's Prabhupada app, which has got the entire thing, you can hear through this whole thing. Of course we have Bhakti Shastri done on campus, so you come here, get the association of the devotees in the Dharma. If you are too busy, do it online. There are many options where you can do certain modules, go back and do it the next year. So there are options of overcoming the devotee association. Then you go back, and when there is a lack of devotee association, you need to give association and create devotees. So then later on they will give association to you. So it's a matter of retaking up that step of, yes, I don't have devotee association, now where do I start? I'll start speaking to my own mind. The first bhakta is our own mind. If we make our mind the devotee, so then that's the first step. Then we can come in somebody else's mind. Later on, those devotees will get more realization that they will preach to us. It happened to me. It will happen to many others as well. So you create association, and weak faith and knowledge is overcome by Shastric knowledge. And the lack of taste in chanting, then we have famous japa retreats. It's conducted in different parts of the world. Here Pujan Prabhu does it. And recordings are available, and of course we have famous 24-hour kirtans happening. Every Ekadasi we have in the Dham and in different parts of the world, they conduct such 24-hour kirtans. Why? Because we all know we lack taste, and such powerful 24-hour kirtan will help us to get a glimpse of what continuous chanting means. So, they have some of these. solutions that you came up with.
Haribo, any questions? Any one question? Okay, no questions. Good. Haribo. Yeah, this was quite comprehensive. Yeah, that was a good presentation. So coming back, I would just like to stick something on this. So here we find Srila Prabhupada quoting this teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami and describing this entire growth of the Bhakti Lata bij till the point the Bhakti Lata actually goes to the spiritual world and takes shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. And the reason why Srila Prabhupada is quoting this is because this verse is speaking about Abhidheya. Abhidheya means the process. The 8th verse is speaking about Sambandha Gyan, what's the relationship of the Jivas with the Supreme Lord, right? The Supreme Lord is the source of everyone, is the source of everything, both material as well as spiritual. And how to establish that relationship is being spoken of in this verse. And so this is the Abhidheya, the process of establishing that relationship with the Supreme Lord. And this is very much talking about that process. Okay? And so therefore, I would just like to briefly discuss this. This is very important for us to understand in depth actually. So, the process of devotional service begins with the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of devotional service. And we often hear this verse, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. After wandering in many, many species of life and many, many universes, the fortunate living entity, Kona Bhagyavana Jeev, some fortunate living entity, gets the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Okay, so what is the Bhakti Lata Beach? What do we mean by the Bhakti Lata Beach? When we say that the Guru gives the Bhakti Lata Beach, so what sort of beach? Actually, if you read the purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, Prabhupada speaks about how there are different bijas in this world. There is the philanthropic bija and the social bija. So many bijas, there's so many seeds, because every activity begins with a seed. Right? You want to begin any activity, it begins with a seed. It begins with something small and that further grows. So there's a bija for everything. So similarly for devotional service also there's a bija. So when we speak of Bhakti Lata bija, what exactly does it mean? Yeah, that's right. So yes, so the Bhakti Lata Beach is given at the time of initiation, that's true. But just to explore it a little further, what exactly does it mean then to receive the Bhakti Lata Beach from the spiritual master? Yes.
Do we get the taste for the holy name?
Well, right at the time of initiation, do you get a taste for the holy name?
They say the mantra in the year.
mantra in the year is actually the second initiation, the Brahman initiation, yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, so how is that established? So what does it mean to get the Bhakti Lata Beach? Any other thoughts? Yes?
To accept?
Restrictions, good. Okay, instructions, restrictions, quite close. Restrictions are part of the instructions. Okay, fine. Yeah, that's quite precise. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions three things actually. What is Bhakti Lata Beach? So, he defines Bhakti Lata Beach as methods, rules, regulations of devotional service. Methods, rules, and regulations of devotional service which are imparted by the spiritual master to the disciple at the time of initiation, that is what is called the Bhakti Lata Beach. Okay? So when we say that the disciple receives the Bhakti Lata Beach from the spiritual master, essentially what are we receiving from the spiritual master at the time of initiation? What's happening? Basically, the spiritual master, we're taking vows in front of the spiritual master. So in other words, we are accepting certain rules and regulations.
the rules and regulations of devotional service. The method, the important methodology of devotional service being?
Hearing and chanting.
Especially the chanting of the holy names, right? That's what the Guru is giving us, right? So, essentially, he defines it as methods, rules and regulations of devotional service which are imparted by the spiritual master to the disciple. That is what is receiving bhakti lata beach from the spiritual master. And then after receiving the seed, just like any other seed, what's the next step? Yes, watering. Okay, the watering process. And this watering process is? Yes, shravanam kirtanam. So, if you take the example of a plant, a growing plant, how long do we have to water the plant?
Forever.
Forever, that's right. Forever. Forever means still?
I mean, it depends on how the plant is. It's like a seasonal plant. It's not after 6 months and it dies.
Okay, so basically till the plant is alive. Right? Till the plant exists, basically the water is required. Can you say that at any point of time the plant does not require water?
No.
And Srila Prabhupada makes a very important statement, because this is entirely analogous to devotional service. Just like the plant, if you stop watering, at any point of time if you stop watering the plant, what will happen? It will dry up. It will dry up. And exactly the same thing applies to devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport, at no point of time a devotee should think that he is sufficiently mature enough that he does not have to anymore do hearing and chanting. If he stops the process of hearing and chanting, it is but natural that his devotional service will dry up. So at no point of time can one think, oh, now I've spent 15 years, 20 years in devotional service, I'm preaching to so many people, I don't have to hear and chant, this is for neophytes. The process of Krishna consciousness is absolutely, totally scientific. At any point of time, if one stops the watering process, it is but natural that the plant, the creeper of devotional service, is going to dry up. It doesn't matter how many years one has spent in devotional service. Right. Okay.
Because it's impossible to give too much water to the plant. Too much purification.
Good question. As far as devotional service is concerned, can we ever think that we have reached that ultimatum where there can be no more hearing, no more chanting, I've reached the perfection? Is it ever possible?
No.
Krishna is unlimited and devotional service is unlimited. There can never be that stage. The purest of the pure devotees, they are thinking, oh, I have no taste. I have to hear more, I have to chant more. That's the consciousness of the pure devotee. So, there's no question of that. Our problem is always the opposite. Our problem is always that. And that should be a healthy fear which we have. That is, I don't have sufficient taste. I'm not doing sufficiently. I have to do more. I think that should be our concern. Our concern should not be, oh, maybe I'm walking too much. That's totally hypothetical. Right? Okay, fine. Going ahead now. As this plant is growing, what else needs to be done?
Cutting the weed.
Yes, two things. Both of them are right. One thing, the first thing is fencing. So what does this fencing refer to?
Shutting
Yes, protection. So, within devotional service, what is it referred to? Yes, exactly. The sadhu sangha. The fencing refers to association, the sadhu sangha. And I'll speak something more on this tomorrow. Okay? And the other one also, somebody said, as Prabhuji said, weans. Right. And these two are extremely important. And I would like to discuss this at the beginning of the class tomorrow, a little more in detail. But then the important point is that all this are aspects of abhidheya, the practice of devotional service. And that's the reason why Srila Prabhupada is describing this. And I'll just speak a little more on this tomorrow. Fine. Okay, let's...
What is discussing in the way?
Yeah, that's what I said. Okay. We'll discuss it tomorrow. I just want to finish the next two presentations. Next group, please. Who's the next group? The 11 and 12 verses. Who's presenting? Well, whichever group.
We're doing the application.
11 and 12 verses. Your group, right? Okay, that's a discussion with Venkat Bhatt. Yeah, so this is, you see in the Madhya Leela there's a chapter, Lord Chaitanya travels to the south. So you'll find it.
First slide in the space for us was nourisher, that Krishna is the nourisher, maintainer, and...
Oh, the Bhagavan.
Yes, farming, nourisher, maintainer, and...
Are you on that again?
Yes.
Okay, we'll revise it tomorrow. Okay, we'll revise it tomorrow.
Yes, so we read the Bhagavad Gita on hand.
Okay, let's quickly recite the verses. तेषां सततयुक्तानां भजतां प्रीतिपूर्वकं ददामि बुद्धियोगं तं येन अहं can read the translation.
Those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me.
Okay, and text 11. तेषां एवानुकम्पातम् अहम् अज्ञानजं तमः Nashyamyatmabhavasto jnanadipena bhasvata.
To show them special mercy, I dwelling in their heart, destroy the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of thee. So we should find the main point and practical application. So this is what we after reading. Main point is that the devotee has to be constantly engaged in serving Krishna with love. So to that Krishna will give the intelligence. So the practical application is that what does it mean for us to be engaged in devotional service with love is to follow the process, associating with devotees, follow the sadhana. Actually one has to be engaged in pure devotional service. That's Srila Prabhupada explained in the Prabhupada. So sometimes we, you know, we want the knowledge first without surrendering to Krishna and constantly serving them. But we have to be engaged in pure devotional service actually to get this knowledge. meditated myself a lot of these verses. And I don't know why I don't like to present this, but these days in the last phase, my concentration has went completely off. I am not able to concentrate anything. I guess it's because of senses somehow. I'm not qualified to stand here actually.
That's okay, no problem. Whatever you can you have written, you try to explain. Or if you want to take help from one of your members of the group, maybe you can take help.
Okay, first Srila Prabhupada explains here in the Tantan, he explains about Puri Yoga. That's the first thing. He gives quite some information about what is Puri Yoga. So this is the intelligence actually involved in when he engages in devotion service. It does it with intelligence, but sometimes in devotee he's not intelligent enough to even take maybe good advice from the spiritual master or the teacher too. So he engages fully in devotional service, and then Krishna gives him the necessary intelligence. But it has to be pure devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada said, how many pure devotions are there in this movement? You just count how many members are there, so many pure devotees. So pure devotional service means to engage fully, that means chanting 16 rounds and following four regular practices. Then we are Vaishnava Prabhupada. And if we do that, although we don't have the intelligence, then Krishna will give the intelligence from within. And so one can say there's two verses here, but they say almost the same thing actually about the Holy Spirit. He also mentioned the same thing also. So I have said something, and now Shitama wants to say something.
Yes, this point I just tried for, that I understood for this particular, for practical application, as Prabhupada is stating in the purport, like, on a practical basis, like, this is like, we can say the goal as Sambandh with a Prayojan. Prayojan means to highlight. But to go is like, Prabhupada is mentioning what we have to do practically. So what I got main for this point, like, following the process of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada is stating like chanting, association of devotees, guidance of a spiritual master, and sincerity. That is required. But for this point, myself I have got a doubt.
You stated.
Yeah, so this is like more related to reaching this point, like in the translation of 10.10, that is the goal basically. In that one can be adding like what I understood, like full Krishna consciousness. Is this like a full Krishna consciousness?
Okay, go ahead.
So this I just got for this particular.
Mm.
No more.
Okay, fine, thank you. Hari Bo!
I have
one question.
Questions are later on. Questions later. So your group is done? Okay, the last group? Fine, go ahead. Cooperative effort. Yes, please begin.
Okay.
Right.
No, we did it. We did it.
We covered a few different challenges for the application of these two particular verses. The first is Krishna mentions the term Buddha Yoga, which means spiritual intelligence, practical spiritual intelligence. So one challenge we come up with is how do you decipher between your intelligence on a karmic level and spiritual intelligence? In other words, how do you know that it's actually come from super soul? Or is it just our own karma? We're just running our own energy like that. So one solution to that particular issue is checking with Guru Sarashastra. In part one or two of a series of lectures by Satchinanda Maharaj, The Power of Blessings, he mentions how Krishna will give you a sign again and again and again and again and again, let you know in case of a particular issue or ditch that you may have been stuck in. Also in Prabhupada, in Canto 119, chapter verse 12, Prabhupada mentioned how every decision we make, we must confirm with some sort of authority. So by checking with Guru Sarashastra, we can actually tell whether, we can actually see and understand whether the direct message from Krishna is just our own sort of imagination. Okay, the next sutra, Pritti Purvakam. Krishna, or Prabhupada translates it as loving ecstasy, serving in loving ecstasy. So another challenge to applying this verse is actually just being sincere. Actually being sincere. And in one sense, there's no actual solution for being sincere. There's no, like, mechanic. There's not a mechanism to be sincere. You just be sincere. You just put as much effort in as you can. Like that. So, another challenge is the now of the truth. So Krishna mentions in verse 11, to show us special mercy. I will destroy, with the lack of knowledge, ignorance. So the false ego is very strong, you know, like that. When we say something, we get attached to what we say. When we think something, we get attached to how we think. When we do something, we get attached to to our own image, like that. So a challenge is actually accepting that Krishna wants to give us feedback. He wants to show us how to improve. He wants to show us how to develop. He wants to show us the truth about himself and others, but because this conditioning, if you think this conditioning of just not wanting to accept Krishna for so many millions of lifetimes, means that it's actually difficult sometimes to accept the truth. It's sometimes difficult to say the truth, even if it comes from a well-wisher like that. So a solution for that is, you can actually just write, let's say you get some feedback from a devotee, don't say anything, just write it. Write it down, take it away, meditate on it later. So that way you don't get into these, like these doubts, like, nah, I'm not really like that, and it helps us check that the false ego is not responding, immediately like that. Endeavoring with fear, okay, so in the purple, Prabhupada mentions how a pure devotee endeavors that we're free from anxiety. So again, another challenge is actually the act in Krishna consciousness, free from fear, free from anxiety. In one lecture, Kadama Kandamaj said that, fear is actually, is you could say lack of knowledge. And a lack of knowledge means some sort of ignorance. So the way you overcome ignorance is through knowledge. One lecture that, one time Kadama Kandamaj said that the easiest way to get a word of goodness is reading Prabhupada's books. Simple, straightforward. Read Prabhupada's books. But Vijay Kudamaraj, in one house program when I was with him, he said that by reading Prabhupada's books, we actually associate with him and we associate with the previous acharyas also, like that. So, these types of, as we endeavour, but we're not endeavouring with confidence, with enthusiasm, with faith, with patience also, there's some sort of ignorance that's sitting within our heart, and that can be completely flushed out through parts of just reading Prabhupada's books every day, like that. And then finally, what's this? So, the application of the philosophy. actually just wanted to play something in relation to Prabhupada's book that you might find quite interesting from,
Yeah.
This was one class.
This is one class given by Achintya Krishna Prabhu.
Okay, thank you very much. Arrivo!
Shall we take Ruchi's question on?
Well, a little over time.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe you reserve your question for tomorrow. You answer it tomorrow. Maybe you just keep this chat. We keep it with you so that bring it tomorrow. So that we.
Yeah.
if anybody has any questions before the discussion. It was good meditation.
What? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhagavad Gita ki, Samvet Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Narayana Gopinath. It's a humble request. It would be nice if we can read the remaining of the 10th chapter and at least half of the 11th chapter tomorrow. Hare Krishna.